Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good, and the Lord's return is soon. And the Lord is mightily moving by His Spirit. I have to tell people that His return is soon because it's not fair for people to go along. Jesus said the day that He returns, people will be getting married, giving in marriage, celebrating, working, doing whatever they do without a care in the world, and Jesus comes. Changes everything. And we need to be aware of what God is doing. The problem is many people are not aware of what God is doing. And sad to say, many Christians are not aware of what Satan is doing. And if you spend time with the Lord, you'll know what God is doing. And the Lord will show you what Satan is doing so that you can protect yourself from him and your children and your friends and your loved ones. You can help protect them. That's the purpose. Sometimes I talk about how God gives me personal words for people. And that's a blessing. It has saved people's lives. The office of a prophet, you know, God give us prophets to. People get on the track that's got a dead end to it. You know, it's just like being on a train. The train is on the track. Everybody's comfortable. You got the waiters. You got people being served on the train. Everything's looking good. You look out the window. You see the beautiful world. But little do they know, the bridge is out. And that's where the prophet comes in. And the Lord sent a prophet to say, hey, the bridge is out. So that they'll have time. Now, listening to the prophet, you have to do it within a time frame. Because it takes a long time to stop a train. So the engineer he'll have to start taking precautions from the time he hear the prophet say, hey, the bridge is out. When he get the news that the bridge is out, then he can start taking precautions. If he's foolish, he won't throttle down. He'll continue to go forward. And then when he sees the bridge is out, it's too late. You're not going to stop the train in time. That's the purpose of prophecy. The Lord will show you what the enemy is doing so that you can take authority over him. So that you can do what you're supposed to be doing. So that you can take precautions. Many times, even Christian people walk right into a trap because they don't spend time with the Holy Spirit. They don't spend time in prayer. They get up and they go about their day with no prayer, no word, no nothing. Some of them might say, Lord, thank you for another day, and get out of bed and walk and go on about their business. And they slept too long and they might be a little late. They just get up and they say, thank you for blessing me to wake up and put on their clothes and leave. But even if you have to do that, you can still say, Lord, help me to not walk into a trap today. You can ask the Lord questions. You can still pray even though you're on the move. And when you're following God and you're doing what He said do, you have to understand that the Lord is with you. And He's going to help you go forward. And He's going to help you see things clearly. Now, if you get up in time to pray, now that's wiser. Some people are wiser, and they do things in a wiser manner. They do things with wisdom. They don't just jump up and run. They get up and they drink their coffee or their juice and they pray, and then they get ready and go to work and go about that day. And the Lord, you got to give the Lord a chance to tell you something sometimes. Go to bed praying. Wake up praying. And when you have free time and spare time, go to a private place and just spend time with the Lord praying. And asking questions by all means. See, people that ask questions, they listen for answers. And that's where we grow. Anytime you hear the word, whether it's the written word or what the Holy Spirit has to share with you, or whether you're listening to what God has anointed people to speak, you're growing as a person. Every time you hear the word of God, you grow. You're doing something to make yourself greater, to benefit your life. And when you pray for your children, you're assisting them. You're involving God to assist them in their lives. Now, don't take for granted that your children are going to make the best choices. You can wake up one day and make a simple choice that's the wrong choice, and it can affect the rest of your life. You can sign your name for a friend, and it can cause you many problems. And I know many people, they have co-signed for people. They were doing well. They didn't, you know, everything was going good. They were making wise choices. Then they co-signed for their friend. And when you co-sign for somebody, that they may not pay the bill, and you won't know it. Months ago by, and the people haven't got them, then they're going to come out to the person that co-signed for them. And they're going to see your check, and now you don't have the money to pay what you need to pay. And your friend did you wrong, or your sister, or your brother, or whoever it is. But when you get the counsel of the Lord, you have something greater to go on. Now, the Lord is returning. So I'm like the prophet telling the conductor, hey, the bridge is out. Jesus is coming. Make preparations. If you're not saved, get saved. If you are saved, draw near to the Lord so you'll know what to do in these last days. Because I tell you, it's like my pastor said years ago, the closer we get to Jesus' return, to the King's return, the closer we get also to the kingdom of darkness. Because why? Satan is desperate. There's a scripture in Revelation that when he gets cast out of heaven, say, you know, rejoice ye heavens. But woe to the people that live on the earth, because Satan is coming in wrath. Most of the things that happen in Revelation, a lot of it is the wrath of Satan, but the vials is the wrath of God. And we have authority over Satan. We can stop Satan's activity at our will. But how many people know that? And how many Christian people really believe that? Most people don't. Most Christians, they have authority over Satan, but they don't believe it, and they don't use it. They run to the pastor, and sometimes the pastor don't take his authority. So things are not like they should be, but that doesn't have to be the case for you. Now, you're the conductor of your own life, just like the man, the driver of the train, where the bridge is out. You can get your life in order. You can stop the train before danger. You can get on the right track. You can get on Jesus' track. You can follow him. You don't have to govern your life in a negative way like others do. You don't have to miss the mark. You don't have to live opposite of the proverbs of God. You don't have to live an anti-Christian life. And what I mean by that, you can govern your life by what Jesus said and not govern your life. You can decide not to govern your life against what Jesus said. So you're going to have to make choices. The King is coming whether people believe it or not. He's going to take everybody by surprise. And even Jesus don't know when he's coming. Only the Father does. So the Lord reserved that in his own power. And there's a reason for it. But when the Father tells the Son, who is Jesus, to go get his church, he's going to get his people with the body of Christ. So we're going to go when he says go. And then when he comes back, he's going to meet us in the air and take us off earth. But when he comes back and to rule and reign, he's going to show up in every hour. That'll be the end of grace. See, people teach that grace will end when the tribulation begins, but that's not the way it is. People are going to get saved during the days of tribulation. But people who love and who held the truth and unrighteousness, they're going to be deceived. They knew better, but they wouldn't do better. Well, they're going to be caught off guard. And when Jesus comes back and touch ground, when he comes back, people are going to run as in terror, because they know, they're going to know. See, in God's presence, you're going to know things. They're going to know whether they're with him or not. And those that didn't want him in their life, didn't listen to him, they're going to know this. Their memory is a witness against them. And they're going to run, try to hide from him. But there's no hiding place. And he's going to destroy those that are fearful and unbelieving. That's why that means you don't have to be fearful or unbeliever. But see, when people are in Christ, when they love God, they've gotten saved, they believe on him, and they're expecting his return. When he comes, they're going to be rejoicing. They're not going to run anywhere. They're going to know that King is here. And that's what I want to prepare people for. Because there's a lot of things that the Lord want to do to help solve problems in our lives. The way we've been, last week we talked about how people have been hurt and things happen against our lives. I talked about how my dad, he saw both of his parents get killed, and his mother was pregnant with twins at the time. He was 5 years old. The man that shot his parents, when he killed his father, the bullet that killed his father went across my dad's chest first. And then the bullet killed my granddad and his dad. He saw this. And he had to live with that pain. And he vowed to kill the man that did this. But guess what? Before the man got out of jail, he was an old man. My dad had children by then. My sisters talk about it. They saw it. They saw the man get out of jail, and he was outside. And my dad went outside and talked with him and forgave him. And he forgave him for what he did because he met Jesus, and the Lord worked with my dad. My dad was not the kind of person that would let something go like that. My dad was going to kill him. And he vowed that he would kill. He said he was going to. But he met Jesus. And he became a man of God. And he learned to forgive and he forgave. Which gave his heart. See, when parents do things like that, they leave a legacy for their children. Now, people don't know it, but there were times I almost shot somebody. But the Lord intervened. When I was frustrated, he intervened. And he helped me to see, you know, I was thinking about shooting a guy that rode off on my motorcycle. And I looked over at his house, and the Lord caused me to imagine a funeral procession. And I said, you know, if I kill somebody over a motorcycle that's going to be wore out in a few years, you know, that's not right. The Lord helped me. My parents prayed for me. So the Lord was able to intervene. That's why we need to pray for our children. They need us to pray for them so that they don't make costly decisions like I almost did. And I put that out of my mind because the Lord helped me to see that funeral procession. I just imagined it. And it would have been my fault. I thought about how I would have felt if I shot somebody over a motorcycle. And me and my friend, we got together and we found him and took it back. But nobody died, thank God. And I didn't go to jail. And I didn't have that blight on my life because the Lord helped me change course. That's the purpose of when prophets and apostles and pastors and teachers and evangelists come and give you information, it's so that you can change course and take a better route. There is a better route to take. The enemy wanted to stop me. He tried to stop me ahead of time. He can sense that some people are going to love God. Now, these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com, newlivingletters.com, where everything is free. You don't have any excuses. I took your excuse away. So everything's free. You don't have to say, well, I can't afford the book. No, the books are on livingletterministries.com. There's a book that I wrote on newlivingletters.com called The Spirit of Egypt. It'll bless your life. There are other writings called Definitions and other things. God is, there's a few writings on there. Most of what's on newlivingletters.com is the audio recordings. And you can download them to your laptop, your phone, and listen to it whenever you want to. And it's free. All you have to do is go and get it. I took your excuses away. There are none, and this is too important to slow things down charging money. God has blessed me with my own business. I make money, but I made the website free because people need God's knowledge. Sometimes the people that will use it may not have the money, But they'll use it. And they'll go forward. And I know the Lord is going to back them up. It's not about me. It's what God has given me to speak. It's the words that he gave. He's using me as an instrument. And if you receive it, he's going to back up his word that he gave me to speak. And sometimes I speak things and it's beyond my intelligence, and I know this. And I finish teaching whatever God has given me, but my mind's like, wow, that's coming out of my mouth, but it's coming from the heart of God. And after I finish the broadcast, this happens often too. I go back and I say, Lord, you caused me to say something wonderful. Teach me all about it. And I have to ask the Lord to teach me about what he used me to speak. Now, that may sound weird, but that's what truly happens. Sometimes I listen to the radio broadcast. I like to make sure that the quality is good, and it helps me to know how to adjust the volume and things like that. And I'm being honest with you. I'm not bragging. But sometimes when I hear my voice on the radio, it's like somebody else said that. I don't have the knowledge to put things in order like that. But God calls me to say what's necessary. That's called the anointing. And I hear the same thing with other people. God calls them to say what's necessary. You just have to be the kind of person that will yield. You have to be like the train conductor that will listen to the prophet. If you can listen to the Lord your God and King, he will use you. And he'll work through you. Why do you think he don't call people to be a preacher because they're smart. He don't call people to the ministry because they live because they're perfect. We're not perfect. We have the same problems everybody else has, but we handle it biblically. And we have to learn to handle it biblically. And sometimes he called us before we master handling things biblically. Some things I had to learn along the way. I wanted to know that I would obey God at all times and not fall. And the Lord called me to the ministry before I mastered some things. I felt like I wasn't ready yet. And I was not in a hurry to preach. I said, Lord, I still got problems I want to clear up. Now, he kept me out of sin, but I knew that I was weak in some areas and I wanted to deal with it. But it didn't work that way. I had to just watch him. And I had to learn along the way, like everybody else. And he helped me to master what I mastered. And he's helping me to learn what I need to know in every way of life. And I ask him for wisdom for every part of my life. And I use the word of God. And I yield to the Lord so that he'll help me help others. That's how it works. He don't make us perfect first. He called us to the ministry, and we have to pay attention, and he'll help us work things out. You know, and it's important because people are watching. They expect you to be just like Jesus. Well, we have to grow to be like Jesus. We have to learn his concepts. Along the course of our lives, we do this. But right now, he can cause us to say something that's far beyond our intelligence, our understanding, our ability to comprehend. And we'll say what somebody else needs, and he's ministering to somebody else. They can take it. They can receive it. And sometimes the messenger have a problem receiving what God is using them to say. That's why I say, Lord, teach me about that. You caused me to say this. Help me understand it. And I meditate on it for a few days. I ask him questions, and I learned so much asking the Lord questions. See, when you trust God, you trust him because of the past. And when he introduces you to something new, you got to mix faith with it if you want to keep it. If you don't mix faith with it, you won't keep it. The conductor driving the train, when he hear the prophet say, hey, the bridge is out, then he has to slow the train down in time to save his life and everybody else's life who's trusting him to drive that train right. Now, once he slowed the train down, and he's going to look like a fool because nobody can see the bridge. But when he eases up to the bridge and everybody sees the bridge that is really out, like the prophet said, then everybody starts clapping their hands. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Not a thanking God that he saved their life and their children's life and their future. But the prophet was right whether he stopped the train or not. Just like I am. I'm right. Jesus is coming back. Don't be caught off guard. He's got to deal with you according to what you decide to do. Now, you can either go in the kingdom of heaven or you can operate according to the lies of this world. But I promise you this, if you stick with this world system, this is as good as it'll ever be for you. When people die and they're not in Christ, they live forever, but they go to hell. And whatever happens to them in hell is up to demons that hate them. But hell is a good thing. Hell is designed to trap evil. Hell is the container that God put evil in so that it can't be destructive against his creation. Hell is like it's like the waste can where, like, if you go and get a malignant tumor off and they cut it off you at the doctor at the hospital, the tumor they cut out, they put it in a red bag and tie it up, and they put it in a hazardous waste dumpster so nobody else can be infected by that malignant tumor. And they do the same thing with HIV blood or body fluids. When they cut the bad stuff out, they put it in a container so that nobody else can be contaminated by it. That's the purpose of hell. Now, when you look up and see the stars, and all those stars are suns, and all those suns have many planets around them. So the Lord, instead of letting sin, you know, an evil man, if he died, if God didn't let him, if he didn't go to hell, he'll be a spirit being, and he'll go around doing evil. But he's going behind the hell where he can't do that. Now, demons can. Demons are still on the loose, that you can't see them. And they're going to be rampant. They're going to be on the loose because they were on the loose when Jesus, it was a legion of demons that he cast out of one man, and they begged him to let them. They begged Jesus to let them go into a herd of swine. And he let them go in the swine. And the swine ran off the hill into the water and drowned. So what I'm saying is this: disembodied spirits are on the loose. They're not like humans. They roam the land and go to hell. Demons roam the land. Demons are disembodied spirits. You remember in the days of when they had giants, the giants were offspring of the Rephaim, the fallen. They were angels once, and they made it with women and had children. The children were giants. Well, the giants can't get saved. But so when they die, they have human, but they can't get saved. They just roam the earth. They're not like people. And that's where you get your evil thoughts from. That's where you get your desires to kill from. That's what influences man to write evil movies and evil books and evil songs. They influence men wrong. They are on the loose. But men can't do that. We go to heaven or hell, one or the other. Now, that's another lesson. But the point is, when you listen to the man of God, and when you listen to the heart of God, and when you listen to the word of God, and you act on what's being taught, you can get off the track that's going to die. You can get on the track of life instead of the track of death. See, there's no bridge out on God's track. You're going to live forever in him. And because you have, he brought you to life, and he helped you to live, and he helped you to see things properly. Now you're at a point where you can fellowship with God, and you can hear him out. And you can talk to him, and you can hear him, and you can go forward. Now, all these things are true, and God is available for you. And he will guide you into all truth. And he can help you change course. And how many times has he helped me change course? So many times. I can't count how many times. I know some notable times that I'll never forget. But he helped me with wisdom along the course of my life. And over time, things got better and better. That's just the way it is. And we grow from glory to glory. And that's how it's supposed to be. Now, if you really want to do these things, the Lord will help you. Don't do it alone. Take him at his word. Say, Lord, I trust you and I believe on Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. And I want you to save me and I want you to keep me in your presence and keep me from the evil ways of darkness and help me understand life. And take time and study the word. This is how you get saved. This is how you don't just get saved and forget about God. Get saved. Ask the Lord to save you. He will. You'll live forever just by saying that prayer in faith and with sincerity. And work against choose to live against the way.